Amen. Thankful for that name, the name of Jesus, aren't you?
Amen.
That's who the Bible says we need to call on God for salvation, call on the name of Christ and what he did for us. We're going to look at that a little bit today. Boys and girls can be dismissed for children's church at this time as they head that way. Learn about the Lord. We're going to remain here and learn about the Lord too. Matthew chapter 27, if you have a Bible, would you take that and look in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 27. We're going to read together verses 27 to verse number 37. Verse number 37. We'll read that responsively, please. That means I'll read verse 27, you read verse 28, back and forth, and verse 37 will be the final verse in our reading this morning. If you are able, would you stand with me? We'll read the Word of God together as we stand. And I'll start with verse 27 in Matthew chapter 27 of the gospel here. Verse 27 of Matthew 27 says this, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers." And when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull,
they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he said unto them, "Would not drink."
And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, "They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots." And set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Thank you. You may be seated. This particular Sunday we often call, or is called, Palm Sunday. It is in Scripture shows the day that the week before he rose again, he entered into the city of Jerusalem, and what an amazing time that was. I'd like to fast forward because next week we're looking at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, certainly his death as well. But as we consider Christ today, I'd like to sit with a group of guys who had an interesting perspective. In fact, the Bible says in verse 36, "And sitting down, they watched him there." They watched him there, these Roman soldiers. And did they understand what was going on? What did they see? Sometimes when we watch something or look at something, we don't always get the full story. Two city employees were out working one day. One dug a hole. The other would come behind him and fill the hole. The two men did this all day through town, one digging, the other filling. A man was watching from the sidewalk and couldn't believe how hard these men were working, but was curious about the purpose of their job. Finally, he went over and said, "I appreciate how hard you guys are working, but what are you doing? You dig a hole and your partner fills it up." The hole digger said, "Well, it's simple, really. The guy who plants the trees is sick today. He's not able to be here." Watching. The Bible says, "And sitting down, they watched him there." I'd like to take a look at these verses and these men. How they watched Jesus in his final hours. What did they see? Does it have meaning for us today? Here we are, nearly 2,000 years later. This morning I'd like for us to look at, in Scripture, how they watched him there. How they watched him there. That's the title of the sermon this morning, "How They Watched Him There." What are some things they saw or did that perhaps we're doing today? And God wants us to change or see new life in us today. Would you bow with me and I'll pray. We'll ask God to help us as we look at how they watched him there. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness and your grace, Lord. Thank you for your word that shares so much about that final week of the Lord Jesus. I pray this particular day, Lord, that if there's a heart or a need, that you would meet it, Lord, spiritually, in the sense of someone who needs Christ as Savior. As a Christian, Lord, there's a decision we've got to make to respond to you, Lord. Whatever it is, we pray, God, you would meet that and use this message for your honor and your glory. Please help me. Father, fill me with your Spirit, that the words I share would be your words and not my own. Again, we thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Here we are. We're at the foot of the cross. Next week, I trust you'll be with us. I trust you'll bring a friend with you if you can. That would be a blessing to see our church filled and hear about the Lord, both in song as well as message. And God wants to use that in a great way. But today, we want to consider this, how they watched him there. Let's start again with verse number 36. If we were looking in the scriptures, verse 36 says, "And sitting down, they watched him." Sitting down. The Bible tells us, first of all, they watched callously in the hour of the crucifixion. Callously in the hour of the crucifixion. You know what calluses are? It's those things that grow on your hands as you work hard and blisters start to form. Well, as you keep doing that, after a few days, they begin to harden, and now the difficult work becomes less difficult. But callous always simply means not feeling. And they were there in the midst of all this. And the Bible says they just simply sat down and let the rest of the situation go by. The Bible tells us to the soldiers that day, it was just another crucifixion. Just like every other one they'd been a part of and perhaps seen over the years. History tells us crucifixion was not new. In fact, it was quite common for those who conquered lands. For example, history tells us that Darius, when he conquered Babylon, crucified 200 people in order to show the rest of the kingdom he's in charge. Alexander the Great, when he conquered Tyre, a great battle, and yet he took it, as he did much of the world at the time. Alexander the Great crucified 2,000 people along the road leading up to that city, and killed many others, many thousands of others as well. It was common. It was a common means of execution in the Roman Empire. So different than what we're used to today. Thankfully, we don't drive around the streets of Eaton Rapids or Lansing or wherever, and we see this on the streets. Amen? That's not something that we'd love to see. But the Bible tells us clearly this was something that was usual for men like this. And it was a means of execution in Jerusalem as well as the Roman Empire itself. To the world, even today, it's another famous person who dies. Jesus was famous. I mean, especially in Jerusalem. The Bible says that his name was known. They were anticipating him and his arrival. But yet, he was just somebody who everybody happened to know, and now he's dying again. He's dying as others do. Jesus was like us, but not above us. That's what the world looked at them, at Christ. Well, he was a great guy. He seems very popular, but, you know, he's just like the rest of us. He's drawing his last breath today. He may have deceived us for the greater good. Perhaps the world looked at him that way. Even today, entertainment and other things, media and so forth, they paint Jesus in such a way that he was so similar to us that the sins that we do, he likely did too. For example, lust and immorality. There was a movie back in the 80s, and I'm not suggesting you go see it, and the truth of the matter is, I haven't seen it, called The Last Temptation of Christ. How many remember the title of that or what it was about? It was a story and completely made up in the sense of where Jesus was in the story, as I understand, his character, that while he was on the cross, he was thinking of immorality. And yet because he was God and so forth, because he was such a great guy, he followed through with the sacrifice. Folks, that's not what Jesus was thinking about on the cross. That's not what he was thinking on the way to the cross. In fact, that's not what went through his mind once while he lived on this earth. And still hasn't. The Bible says when he went to the cross, he was without sin. and did not entertain it. They might claim Jesus was not virgin born, nor is he God. There's those out there that claim they can pray to different saints, different of the apostles, or different people that we read about in Scripture. I need health, so I need to talk to call on St. Jude, or I need this, I need money, I need to call on St. whoever. I need that, and they're my good luck charm. Well, God says there's only one Savior, amen? There's only one God, and we ain't it, nor were any other men. The Bible says God himself came to this world and took on flesh, and they called him Jesus. And they try to explain away his miracles, even today. Look at that time as if, first of all, that it was not real, that story was all made up. There wasn't really a Jesus that went to the cross like that. That's all Bible made up stories. And yet, God in himself, he came to this world and he went to the cross. They try to explain away miracles and the things that he accomplished in life. These soldiers would have watched callously in the hour of the crucifixion. But the real Lamb of God died on that cross that day. The prophets foretold of his coming according to the Bible. Would you look with me in Isaiah chapter 50? Let's take a look there. And there's many we could look at in the Old Testament, but this is the one we want to see, Isaiah 50. The prophets foretold. There were prophets of old that knew that by God's grace were shown a Savior's going to come. He's going to take away the sin of the world. He's going to save his people from sin. Isaiah chapter 50. Take a look with me, if you would, verse number 6. Let me start with verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. As Jesus was led to the cross, this is the things that went through, that they did to him while he was going to his death. They pulled his beard, they spat on him. The Bible says several hit him in the face. And on the body, the Bible's clear, he went through great torture for you and me. You say, wait a minute, that's not the kind of Messiah that we need. No, we need a Messiah who is spotless and without sin. He went, he sacrificed, and he was without sin. Isaiah 7, verse 14, if you want to go there with me, Isaiah chapter 7, same book. A little earlier in the chapter, chapter 7, verse 14, says this. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. It's been a few months now. How many remember Christmas? Yeah, it's gone now. But the Bible tells us very clearly when Jesus was born, he was born of a virgin. He did not have the sin nature that you and I have. He was born without sin nature, and he never did commit sin while he was on this earth. And the Bible says we must accept that by faith according to God's word. And the Bible is clear. He was a lamb that was spotless. And he came to save his people. Emmanuel means God with us. He came in the flesh to be with us, to save us. Hebrews chapter 4, if you want to look there, you can. Hebrews 4, verse 15 says this. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Before these men on the cross was the Lamb of God. He had been foretold. He was without sin, the Bible says, and he healed and raised the dead to prove he was more than just a man. Matthew chapter 9 tells us in verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Something amazing Jesus did. And you see, people might say, well, of course, you know, maybe he had some kind of understanding of medicine that people didn't back then, so he could maybe help with their eyes, help with their diseases and so forth. But something he did that nobody on earth could do, except God himself, is he raised the dead. The Bible tells us a young girl had died, and he raised her off the bed, and he said, "Wake up, it's time to get up," and raised her from the dead. While he was going by a city, the Bible says, in Nain, a dear lady who was a widow herself, according to the scriptures, her only son had died, and they were taking the body out to be buried. And Jesus said, "Arise," and the guy got right off there. How many would love to have Jesus at your funeral someday? Or those that you know, wow, praise the Lord, that's who Jesus was. And there these guys were callously at the foot of the cross. They watched callously. Gypsy Smith was an evangelist in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And he writes this about the cross of Christ. He said, "I have never lost the wonder of it all." Have you? Have you? Let's go back to Matthew. Let's go Matthew 27. Take a look again at verse number 45. Verse 45. The Bible says, "The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, This man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. And the rest said, let us see whether Eli will come unto him. Jesus, verse 50, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God. First, we see in verse 36, they watched callously. And secondly, I'd like to share with you, at least at the beginning here, verse 45, they watched calmly. Calmly in the hour of crisis. The crisis is man's sin condemns us and condemned them that day. And in fact, they were condemning their own Savior. And they were in a great crisis, as we are still today. And yet the Deliverer was right before them, and calmly they sat. The Bible tells us even creation groaned, but these soldiers were unmoved at first. The people taunted Jesus as he was being led. The thieves mocked. The Bible says they cast the same in his teeth. That is, they looked at Jesus and they said, well, just like these people, you must not be who you claim to be. Now, the Bible records for us in the Gospel of Luke that one of the thieves repented of that. Amen? By the way, if a thief on the cross can get saved, anybody can get saved. Anybody can get saved. Anybody can call on Jesus, and with his last breaths, he asked God to save him and trust in him. The Bible tells us Jesus told him, today you'll see me in paradise. Wow. The Bible tells us that these things were going on, and calmly they were for a time. And then things began to move. The Bible says the earth began to quake. The hours of darkness began to unfold. No one could see Jesus then. Earthquake, rock split, veil completely torn apart. Perhaps if you were in town that day in Jerusalem and you weren't there at the site of the execution, you might have seen somebody who you knew, man, they passed away. What's going on? Here they are walking around again. It would have been an amazing time. A little mystery about that until we get to heaven, but God says it happened, and praise God it did. And somebody in the group, the Bible says their leader, finally admitted that Jesus was more than a man. Look at verse 54 again. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God. Jesus today, 2025 continues to draw men to the world's crisis today. And the crisis I'm not talking about is Hezbollah or the Houthis or the whatever those tribes are over there in the Middle East, causing great trouble. It's not the wars we hear about between Russia and Ukraine, although that's terrible. China, who is our, as we're told on news all the time, our biggest enemy. That's not the crisis God wants us to focus on. The crisis is this, that the wages of sin is death. That the things that we do in the flesh, that we do against God in opposition to Him, sin is death. Sin means missing the mark, missing the mark. God's mark, His standard, is that we all live perfect. We never do, say, or think anything wrong. How many of us can say, since the day we were born, we've been able to do that? How many would say, yeah, I admit, I've done things I shouldn't have done since the day I was born. Amen. Yeah, we all can say that. The Bible calls that sin. And sin has an accounting before God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. There's a physical death, but there's a spiritual death. In fact, the Bible says before we even reach the physical death, spiritually, we're not alive to God. We're dead in our trespasses and sins, the Bible tells us. You say, wait a minute, I don't feel that. I don't sense that. Yeah, I've had some rough days. Well, God says spiritually, if it's spiritual, can you see it? No, but you can read about it in Scripture. And I believe if you look for God and you seek His face, you know He's right. He's right. I have a sense of guilt and conviction that I just don't want to know. I just don't want to deal with. And yet God says that can be removed if you call on my Son, Jesus Christ, to save you. He went to that cross without that sin and guilt. He rose again 3 days later. And today He lives on the, he's on the right hand of God, the Bible says, preparing a place for all who put their faith and trust in Him. He says He'll give anybody everlasting life if they call on His name for salvation. Do you need to do that? That is the crisis we see. Will I receive Christ's deliverance from sin's cost, or will I just let it continue on by? The Bible tells us in John 3, verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Wow. And I'm not talking about everlasting life and with our aches and our pains. The Bible says when we see Jesus face to face, everything's going to change. Amen? Everything's going to be different and far better than we can even imagine. All those things, even the tears of sorrow, the Bible says He'll wipe away and we'll be in His presence. Complete, whole. I can accept Christ and accept that life, not just in the future, but presently, a relationship with Him, or I can accept sin's destruction. John chapter 3, verse 18 goes on to say, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So what do I have to do to earn God's accountability for sin? And by the way, the Bible tells us the first accountability after this life for sin is a place called hell. It's a real place. The Bible talks about it many times. In hell, there's no escape. There's no, I'll be here for a time and maybe somebody back on earth can pray for me and get me out. But that's not the way it's going to work. Hell is the place where God says, I'll spend. And the Bible tells us in hell, there is fire, there is darkness, there is loneliness. There is memory. You can recall everything that you've done or people you know. Someone once said that if we could go back to hell for just 5 minutes, we'd come back the greatest soul winners the world has ever seen. To hear the terrible cries that must be going on. The Bible says hell is real, and my soul and spirit will be there if I choose to reject Jesus. If I do nothing, the Bible says I'm condemned already. But if I choose to receive Christ and his invitation, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ, my Lord, the Bible says, my life will change forever. These men, the Bible says, they watched callously, they watched calmly. And the third thing I believe we see here is they watched carelessly in the hour of God's love gift. Would you turn with me to the book of Titus, Titus chapter 3. They watched carelessly. Here's this amazing thing happening right before them. And though it certainly made an impression, did it change the way they wanted to go? There's no evidence of that. There's no evidence that they went on to told others about what they seen, but the Bible's clear that this was a gift from God. As terrible as it was a gift from him for the world. Titus chapter 3, take a look, verse number 3 and 4. Would you read those with me? Verse 3, verse 4, we're in Titus chapter number 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Wow. Christian friend, if you're here this morning, praise God for Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you know what the Bible tells us? We were no different spiritually in the sense than those soldiers that were there that day. We were in great need. We served our own pleasures and lusts. We lived in malice and envy. Hate was a part of life, disobedience, etc. And God says, and yet I revealed myself to you through my love gift of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, that love gift is still good today. Amen. Amen. Still good today. Here we are, so many years later. The reason it's good today is because Jesus is alive. He's not in the tomb any longer. And we'll look at that more next week. But today the Bible says, don't be careless about this tremendous truth, this tremendous change that God can make for you. The Bible shows us that the soldiers, even at the cross there, they gambled his garments. And it was careless of them to consider. And think of the words they heard. The words they heard from Jesus. Luke 23 tells us that Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In verse 43, he said in Luke, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Oh, great news for that particular thief. In John chapter 19, he looked down and saw Mary and said, woman, behold thy son, so that she could be cared for by the apostle John. Here in Matthew 27, if you look at verse 46, again, the Bible says he called out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? John chapter 19, again, he said, I thirst. And it was to fulfill scripture, fulfill the prophecy according to God's word. In verse number 30 of John 19, the Bible says he cried out, it is finished. Luke chapter 23 shares another phrase that the Bible says in verse 46, into thy hands I commend my spirit, which shows, I believe, proof that Jesus chose to die. He gave himself up to death. And they heard all that, and it still didn't seem to move them. Let me ask you, is what Jesus did for you, does it matter to you? As we look at him, if you need Christ, would you call on him? If you know Christ, how desperate are you to see somebody else know him? How will you respond to Jesus today? Will you receive him through faith? Would you dedicate your walk, Christian friend, to Christ and his glory? Would you submit to his Spirit, the Spirit of God, for that revived and renewed life? Hey, we got a lot of work to do on this earth, amen? God's called us to do some things. The Bible says greater things, he says in the Gospel of John. And we can't do it without his help. In fact, we can't do it at all unless we're working with him through us. Romans chapter 12. Let's go there and we'll finish here. Romans chapter 12. Take a look, verse number 1, verse number 2. The Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, talking to those who know Jesus, they've put their faith in him. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How will you respond to Jesus today? The Bible says these men watched him and they were callous. This is just another guy, just another death. They watched calmly while the people around them were taunting him, abandoning him. And then something happened. They took notice. But it doesn't say they turned to him. Would you turn to him? Would you? Christian friend, has God shown you there's something you need to do to dedicate to him, to honor him, to live for him? And would you give it to him today? Would you submit so that you can walk in that newness of life even today with a renewed mind that God desires for us to live in? Oh, how God has something for all of us today. Would we respond to what he says and what he desires? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for everyone's here this morning and listening. I pray, God, show us what we each individually need to do to honor you. Lord, we know what you want is better than what we want. It always is. There's great joy, there's great blessing, and yet we need to surrender to you too in order to see those things. I pray if there's a soul listening this morning that needs Christ as Savior, would you show them that that need can be met right here, right now. As a Christian, Lord, perhaps we're considering our life right now. We're examining ourselves and seeing that there's something that needs to belong to God instead of me. I've been holding on to it. I've been keeping it back, and yet, Lord, it belongs to you. Oh, God, I pray, show us what you'd have us to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. With heads bowed, please, and eyes closed, I'm going to ask a couple questions, and I'm going to ask that no one look around. No one's looking, just myself, and I do not call out people here. I do not want to do that. I wouldn't want that for me either in this situation. So I'm going to ask you, has God spoken to you? Pastor, I'm here this morning. I don't know if I know Christ as my Savior or not. I've heard about him. I've heard the story of his death, burial, and resurrection, but I can't say that in faith I accepted what he did for me on the cross and asked God to save me. Can I ask you, friend, would you like to do that today? Pastor, here's my hand. I need Jesus as my Savior. That's what I know. Would you remember me when you close in prayer? My prayer cannot save you, my friend, but I certainly would like to see that settled for you today, and perhaps we can talk some more, or you can on your own right here, right now. Ask God to save you. In faith, God says he wants to answer that. I need salvation. I need Jesus as my Savior. Would you remember me when you close? Here's my hand. There's no one looking around. It's just me. Would you remember me when you pray? Question number 2. Pastor, I'm here. I need Christ. I know Christ as my Savior. Praise God. I can share with you about the testimony of receiving him, and what a blessing. And yet there's things in my life or something he's shown me. I need to dedicate to him. I need to give over to him. I've been keeping it myself too long. Would you pray for me? God's shown me something I need to give to him even today. I don't want to be careless about it. I don't want to be callous about it. I want to give it over to the Lord. Please pray for me. Here's my hand. You and God know about it, friend, but I'd like to pray with you about it if that's the need. Here's my hand. Please remember me. Yes, amen. Yes, yes, amen. Yes, I'll pray. Please remember me. God showed me something. As a Christian, belongs to him, but I've been keeping it from him. Please remember me when you close. I want to change that. Anybody else like that? One more question, then I'll pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, thank you for your patience. One more question. Pastor, I have a burden on my heart today. You don't know what it is. People around here may not know, but I know God does, and I sure want to see it through with him. With him. Would you remember me, this great burden? I want God to have his way in it. Would you pray for me about that? Yes. Amen. Yes. Yes. Amen. Yeah. Yes. I'll pray. Yes. Absolutely. Pray. Any others? I got a great burden. You're not aware of it. Maybe some are, but God knows. I want to give it over to him. See it through with him. Anybody else like that? Yes. Yeah. Heavenly Father, you're so good to us, and thank you for your word. Lord, these things that we see in Scripture, Lord, they're applied for today. They are here for us so that we can put them into practice, show the world that your way is the best way, Lord, and even in our own life, Lord. I pray, Father, for those of us who said, there's something we've seen. You've helped us as we've examined ourselves. Something has to be dedicated to you. Whatever it is, Lord, for those dear folks that said that, you've shown them something. You've shown us something. Lord God, I pray, as they bring it to you right now, Lord, would you show them the next step? What that means, whether to remove or take something on that would honor you instead of keeping things the way they are that are not the right way, not your way. Father, there's others who've said, we have great burdens. You know what they are, Lord. They are important, and Lord, they can be life-changing. And yet, Lord, we want to bring them to you. Pray for these dear folks that said, Lord, we want to bring that burden to you. Help us, Lord, to do it your way. Help us to bring it to you in such a sense that we surrender it to you, Lord, that this is your burden now. And God, show us what to do again the next thing, whether it's continue in prayer or make a particular step, whatever you have, Lord, to see through this situation. May you get the glory through it, Lord, and Jesus our Savior get glory for it. We pray for that. In Jesus' name we pray all this and pray your blessing on this invitation. Amen. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand together. If God's spoken to you, why don't you respond right now? I'm going to ask the organ to softly play the song that we'll sing. When she begins to play, would you respond? You can be right there at your seat. You can make it a big deal, big step. Ask God right here at the front. Make a step forward and ask his help on that. Whatever the Lord moves you to do, would you respond as she plays that song? If you need Christ as Savior, didn't raise your hand, that's fine. That's fine. But perhaps God's moving you to get that settled right now. I'll be down there with my Bible. I'd love to show you from God's Word and help you with that as she begins to play. Sing that song together. Brother Doug's going to lead us in it. It's number 190.